Oh, man, I'm so glad all of you are here. You should have received your all-in booklet, session two, as we continue to study the life of Abram, how he becomes Abraham. Everybody online, the link's coming to you right now already. I'm going to invite you right now. Do you have it open? Because I'm going to ask you to mark this thing up today. So if you don't have one, feel free to grab one in the back or raise a hand if you want. They can give you one. And if you need a pen, let us know as well. Because what we want to do is, man, I want you to have a great service, but I want you to have an even better week coming up. So we want to give you something that is about the week to come. And again, page 14, we've got our daily devotions coming up, our time with God. Notice the verse that's going to be our memory verse this week, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him. He will make your path straight. That's for you this week. I want you to write on this thing all week long. Think about what God is saying to you. And last week we talked about that all in is about legacy. This week we're talking that all in is about trust. Because trust is something that we do not do in this world. It's the thing we're all kind of scared most about. Now, you will notice I have a few props up here. This sermon is sponsored by Home Depot. All right, we'll all be doing some work later. And if you don't want to, then come over to my house. I've got plenty for you. All right, so just come on out. We'll put this over here. But the reason this wheelbarrow is here is it reminds me of the classic example of the difference between I believe, quote unquote, and I trust. There's a difference between, I believe in God versus I trust God. And that story, one of my like favorite non-Marvel superheroes of all, like actually real person who was just crazy amazing, was this guy named the Great Blondin. I shared like a few years ago about this dude. 18, like 50s. He says he's going to be the first one to tightrope across Niagara Falls. And no one's ever done it. The winds, the distance, there's not even a possibility to tighten the rope as someone should have for that because of this. I mean, just crazy. He gathers 25,000 people to watch him do it. And literally, newspapers are like, he's mad, this is irresponsible, there's no way, like, why would anybody even know? And sure enough, he goes from one side to the other. One side to the other, that's one of the photographs. Where he was, where no one could go from here to here, there was this amazing trust that he was able to, he did it, right? He comes on back. Going back, like, they're like, can't believe he got across. He's like, no, I'm coming back. They're like, you're doing it again? Yeah. He goes halfway. He lays down for a few minutes and then goes across. Like, it was just crazy. And what he did was this incredible showman. I forget how many hundreds, if not thousands of times he actually did this over the course of his career. And the reason why this is there, because one of his most famous moments, he always had to top himself. You know, he always had to, like, to get the crowds coming. I mean, he had presidents showing up to doing this. And one day, he took one of these across. Took the wheelbarrow, went across. And instead of having the balance bar with the safety ropes for the bar, he had none of that. And he went across. He comes back across. Now, legend tells the story two ways. We're going to do the wheelbarrow way on this one. And he's back on the side. The crowds are going crazy. And they're like, oh, and he's like, do you believe I can do anything on a tightrope? Like, yeah, we believe. Yeah. Do you believe that I can even take a person in the wheelbarrow and get them across? Like, oh, they're like loving it. Like, yes, yes, yes. He's like, which one of you is going to be the volunteer? And legend has it, nobody volunteers, and his manager is forced to go in the wheelbarrow so he can take someone across. And again, there's a difference between, oh, we believe, Vaughn, you're awesome. We believe you can do it. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. I have to be all in my belief. See, that's different. And you and I, when we go to church or just when we've heard about God, it's nice to say we believe, but all in is about trust. It's about saying, come on, King Goldman, get on in. Let's go, right? Well, we won't go down here. That'd be bad. And that's what God is always inviting us to do. That is this message. If you turn to page 10, we're going to read this scripture. Here's the next big moment in Abram's life. And remember, he's still Abram. His life has not been transformed into Abraham yet. So I want you to think of Niagara Falls. He's on one side. He's never been able to get to the other side. And no one has ever shown him that it's possible. This is Abram. So I want you to circle a few things for me. The first thing I want you to circle in Genesis 13, 1 through 9, is that his name is still Abram. Circle that. He's still Abram. He's not the guy who has grown and transformed enough to live in the promise that God made him. Just like you and I, God says really great things to us, and yet we're like, yeah, I don't see that ever happening. Okay, he's still Abram at this point. So I want you to circle that word, and then just follow along with me. I'm going to ask you to circle a few more things as we go through, because we're studying this, we're letting God speak to us. Everybody online, you could just maybe take some notes on a separate page, or if you've got, throw it on your iPad. But let's really, I'm not interested in preaching you a sermon. I'm interested in shepherding you this week to what God has for you. So this is where it begins. Here we go. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev. Now remember the promised land. He starts there, but then the famine comes. He has to go to Egypt. He makes some big mistakes, doesn't do it right. God still is with him. He comes back to where he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be in the promised land. Now he's back. So it says, with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Verse 2, Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, and then underline these next few words, where his tent had been earlier. So he comes back to Bethel, you know, the house of God, this place where God wants to meet with him. And he comes back to really, if you look at the geography, this is the heart of the promised land, okay? And where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Circle that, called on the name of the Lord. So Abram was not just a passive person. He was choosing to call it, even like you did in worship today, calling out. Here we go. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their, next word circle, possessions were so great they were not able to stay together. This journey always has to do with what we possess, what we're holding on to, and how we're letting go of it when God wants us to. Verse 7, and quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at the time. So Abram said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me, between the herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, in other words, Lot, you choose. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And as the next verses tell us, Lot chooses the heart of the promised land, and Abram lets him. So here's really the next step in what we're calling this giving journey, in this idea of learning to give everything, to say, God, I am all in the wheelbarrow. Take me. I believe you can do the impossible in my life. Here's where this story goes. In Genesis 12 last week, Abram has his first big moment, and he just says, yeah, God, whatever you want to do, I'm in. I'm all in. So in that moment, Abram learns to say, what you want to do, I'm in. Now, that's good. A lot of us have had that moment. When you come to Jesus for the first time, that's what you do. You just say, all right, God, what you have for me, I'm all in. But here is this next step in his journey. Because Abram seems like it's going pretty well. He's grown wealthy. There's a lot of things he's got. Maybe he doesn't ever need to turn into Abraham, right? Like, he's already got a lot. And then all of a sudden, God shows him the next moment. And I want you to hear this right here. It's one thing to say, God, I'm willing to be all in what you want in my life. It's another thing to say, God, I want to be all in how you do it. That's big. Like, it's great. Like, we're all like, yeah, God, I want to do that. And then we think how God's going to do it. See, if I was Abraham, when we got to this point where Lot and I had to switch, I would think, well, this is how it's going to work. I'm the one who's promised this land. This is the heart of the land. So obviously, Lot, you're going and I'm staying, because how I think this is going to happen, it makes a lot of sense that I'm staying in the heart of the promised land. But what Abram does is he is all in how God wants to do it, not just what God wants to do. And he actually chooses a few things. He makes a choice between two things that lets God determine how, not just what. And I'm telling you what, this is our challenge. Because almost everyone in this room, right, we say, Lord, use my life. Lord, I surrender myself to you. We've said what? We said, Lord, I want what you have. But now comes the second step. And let me tell you this right now. It'll feel like a backwards step in your life. It'll feel like you're going backwards, not forward. It'll feel like there's a moment that God is going to challenge your how. And it's crucial in your all-in journey to let him do it his way. And Abram could have said, well, I know how this is going to work. I'm the guy who gets the land. Lot, you need to go. But what Abram does is he trusts God with the how, and he makes three choices that you and I need to make today. And I'm just telling you right now, when you make these choices, a lot of times it feels like you're going backwards in the promise God made for you instead of forward. So listen, here's the first one. I probably should actually use my clicker a little bit. All right, trusting God with the how he will fill the promises. Big, big difference than just what. Here we go. Number one, Abram chooses relationship over possessions. This is incredibly important, everybody. Abram has this moment where he makes a choice. I would rather have a good relationship with Lot than obviously be in the place where my possessions are going to grow the easiest or the most. He chooses relationship over possessions, and that is the call for all of us. Didn't Jesus say no one can serve two masters? He'll hate one or serve the other. And what are those two masters? God and possessions, money. It's like you and I are always going to have a moment. There's never going to be time in this world, even after you see God do great things, the next day after the miracle, you're still going to have to choose relationship over possessions. That's how you're all in. And Abram chooses God and God's way over just getting what he wants. He chooses Lot instead of himself. What he does is he says, I'm going to choose relationship over possession. I'm just telling you now, a lot of times that feels like a backward step in your life. And I'm telling you, it's the only way forward. It's the only way forward to the legacy and the promises of God. God, I'm going to choose relationship instead of possessions. You know, last week when we were doing these daily devotions, the first one asked us, Monday of last week, asked us, what are some times, there's a difference between saying, yeah, I'd do whatever God wanted if he called me, and then actually doing it. And I started listening, and somehow the question asked us, what are some times when you, like, did what God said? And I started listing things like when Sarah and I decided to leave two good jobs in Pennsylvania, like, yeah, I think I'll do this youth pastor thing down here. When the Lord was speaking to us about our family and finishing our family in Ethiopia with Caleb and Project Hope and CRC and two church plants. And you know what I realized? Everything I loved the most about my life came with a huge step of faith. there wasn't one thing in my life that I thought, man, when I go to heaven and get to celebrate what is eternal, every one of those things on the list came in a moment when I felt like I can't cross over Niagara Falls on a tightrope. I'm scared to get in the wheelbarrow. There wasn't one thing that wasn't like that. And I felt like the Lord said, Sean, are you willing to do it again? Are you willing to just keep choosing me over what you got? Because I'm telling you what, it feels like a step backwards. It's a giant step forward. I want you to really pray about that. The next one is this. Abram chose the journey over instant results. Right? It's like, man, right now, boom, own it. Here, one more step closer. Lock it out of here. This is the heart of the promised land. I'm taking it. Instant results, instant progress, instant encouragement. Yeah, now I see how it's working. And Abram doesn't choose that. He says, if God's going to do it God's way, then I've got to choose to be on a journey instead of always be looking for instant results. And you and I, man, we live in an instant world. It's got to be. If you post and within 5 minutes you don't get some likes and some, you know, like, what is wrong? It's all instant. And I'm just telling you right now, there's a journey for you and I. Because none of us get from one side to the other with one giant leap. It's just a bunch of steps. And they're significant steps for us. You know, when I think through this idea of the journey, there is a teaching that really changed my life. And I want to share it with you, and that's why this ladder is here. You can kind of look at this journey of becoming more like Jesus as a journey, or you could even like steps on the ladder. And I wanted to go through this with you because every part of your life, choosing relationship over possessions, always means you're going to give. Now, to grow in God. You'll never become like Jesus if you don't learn to give like Jesus. Like, that's not possible to become like him. He was, Mark 10:45, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for any. To become like Jesus is learn to give. But we don't take one giant leap to that. We go on this journey. And this really changed my life when I understood this teaching, so I want to share it with you. All right? Step one, get on this first. Do I get up on this ladder too? So just to really. Step one, when I'm like, all right, I'm going to go from where I am to where I need to be. This is when I'm an emerging giver. And the whole idea here is that God starts to speak to my life, and it moves me. And now that God has kind of moved me, now I start feeling moved to give the way God gave to me. And it's very much based on circumstance, occasion, and just being inspired. And there's nothing wrong with that because God does inspire, but that's really just the first step. That's Genesis 12, the first moment that Abram gives. Man, he's just like, all right, like I feel moved. Let's go. But where we are this week, and each of these weeks we're covering this, is Abram gets to a point where he says, wait a minute, it's not just what, it's how. And I realize that I need to take a step more towards God, what God wants. I'm going to end up all the way up there. You're going to be really scared for me at the end. Here we go. You realize that giving should be a way of life, not just an occasion. So what you start doing is you start getting consistent. Bridget, are you really taking a picture of me? I was like, okay, there's my pastor up on the ladder. It's a good one. Please send it to me. I'll just remember this crazy moment of mine. Now look, this is Abram with Lot. All right, you know what? I had one big give, but maybe my life is about giving. Maybe this isn't a one-time thing. And so what we start to do is we start to make a plan and prioritize. We start to get consistent. All right, we live in an American culture that's all about 15 minutes of fame, 15, you know, whatever, and it's all about the big moment. You look back at your life right now and tell me who's changed your life more, big moments or consistent people. I'm telling you right now, consistent people change the world. They don't have to be big. They don't have to be this amazing personality. They don't have to have these crazy, amazing skills. They just got to be consistent. Because 5 loaves, 2 fish consistently can change the world. So this is a beautiful step. Now, what happens here, though, is I go from consistent to this issue of foundation. And I take yet another step up, right? And what happens here is I didn't plan this, but I'm getting closer to the cross. Notice the direct physical symbolism. All right, what's happening here? I realize that it's good to be consistent, but then it hits me. I don't decide how I'm consistent. God decides how I'm consistent. And if you take time to look at the Word of God, He's pretty clear. He gets the first consistently. He always gets the first consistently. So whether it's the first day of the week and I go to church and I give my worship, whether it's my tithe, next week we'll do Genesis 15. It's the first time the tithe is ever mentioned in the Bible. Where does it happen? In Abraham's life. All right? I'm consistent, but not on my terms. I'm growing into what I will call a foundation, not a finish line. All right? Some of us, especially in the financial line, we think, oh, those are finances, and now, like, I finally tithe, so I'm done. It's like, are you kidding me? That's the foundation for always having this really stable life. The foundation is set for legacy to grow and grow and grow and grow. But there is another step. Are you ready for it? I'm going higher. At some point, this may get a little sketchy. It might begin to get sketchy right now. Here we are. All right, Jesus. All right. We go from foundation to mission. And all of a sudden, we realize this life, man, this is actually just, this isn't just a foundation. This isn't like, okay, I did that. This is like, I want my life to be about this. And here's the big aha moment. You realize that God does not give to you. He gives through you. Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He didn't just give to Mary. He gave through Mary. And I tell you what, when that happens, your whole perspective on how you live life changes. And now you're on a mission. And it gets really sweet. But there is another step. And it's so supernatural that I think we're going to let you just envision it, because I'm not sure if I'll just fall and bust my head at this point, and then we'll turn into a healing service, okay? Let's just go this one as I'm moving down, all right? But imagine me higher up, okay? Fully surrendered. Here's the full image of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's like, Father, you want me to keep anything? And the Father says, no, give it all. Genesis 22, Abraham with Isaac. The very thing that you gave me, I'm willing to give it back to you. Man, then I am at the cross. And I'm going to come down from this. This is the giving journey, everybody. And every part of your life, this is where God's taking you. This is where the Great Commission, right? Go and make disciples, the great commandment, love God, love our, the great description of who Jesus is. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life. So, relationship over possession, journey over instant results, and then the next one, we choose to give before we receive. And this is really important because this keeps us from making this, I know the magic formula with God, and if I control it, then I get what I want. No, 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 no. You don't get and then give. You don't give and then get back exactly what you were hoping for. No, no. God's in charge of the what and the how. And this is not about what you think it is. This is about God. It's all yours. And I'm going to give, and then I'll let you decide what you want me to receive. But I'm telling you this right now. It always starts with giving before receiving. You may be online today. You may be here. And this may be the day you give your life to Jesus. You're going to give before you receive everything about it. It's, you know, God's going to speak to you. Praise the Lord. Like, it's going to be an amazing moment. But I'm just telling you right now, you're going to give before all of a sudden everything's angels and rainbows and butterflies. And like, that's not coming up yet. What you're going to do is you're going to give before you receive and trust the Lord with where you're at. And I'm telling you what, he's going to be faithful. Now, I just, every time we're in this series, I want to take a few minutes. I'm going to try to make this real short. But last week, we talked about that legacy does not happen unless we get real about getting going. Like, we got to get honest about where we're at. Last week, I talked about, you can look online on the all-in page. You can do last week's sermon. I said, look, we're going to live this out as a church. I'm not preaching some kind of like, that's a nice thought. I'm like, no, I'm not preaching to you right now. I'm actually shepherding our whole church and saying, guys, we got to go here. So it gets real, which includes money. I know money can be a sketchy thing in church, but that's not what this is about. This is, we're not going to talk about something and not live it out. So that's why you're hearing this. On next Sunday night, Pastor Brett said it, I'm going to give you the real numbers and the real time frames. Not that I've got all of them, so have a little mercy on me, okay? But we're talking about, how do we really love people in our community well? What could we do to bless them and for this house to be a safe place for the next generations? So last week I talked about four projects that we realize we've got to do. We've got a whole bunch of our people who watch online, and so we've got to finish up some online equipment. All right, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag right now. I was going to save it, but here's the deal. This list pretty much came up, formed in the summer. We actually have project number one all paid for already. Like, the provision already came in for that. So can we just praise the Lord for that? Thank you, Lord. By the end of the year, turn it, you're going to see a few more things, because we know that a lot of our church family is online, and so we want to make sure, and that the equipment is in tandem with a lot more intentional discipleship for everybody online. That's why you have your online host. Number two, we want to do a secure kids wing. Just got the architect's initial draft on that. I will show you that next Sunday night. And we just want this to be a safe and powerful place for kids. And so that's really, I'm kind of giving you an order, because the whole idea is, if we'll all take a step in our giving, we can do all of this in cash, actually. And I'll show you some of the numbers. And I don't want to get stuck on them. I just want you to see the real impact of what we're talking about. Really, the thing we want to do after that is we want to make sure that we're paying down the mortgage, not because it's about material things. We just don't want the next generation to not be free to do what God wants them to do and be like, oh man, but we can't do it because of this. We want to knock that out. We'll share the plan for that next Sunday night. And then just COVID dynamics, the way our community experiences, the way it ebbs and flows and what you can do and where you can do it, that's not going away for a few years. And so what we would like to do is make that tent a permanent fixture that actually can be enclosed. And so, again, we're just going to, as we take next steps, we're going to see what the Lord does. Now, let me just give you a few moments. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I want you to understand how real this is. In the past 5 years, talking about giving before receiving, we've almost done $500,000 to our two church plants, which is, and then all the people and everything, has just been beautiful. In the past 4 years, $1.4 million to missions, 16% of all of our income, everything we receive as stewards, goes back into missions. And our goal has always been 10%, at least tithe it, right? So that's what we've done. This past year, we just finished planting a church in COVID, and we received, which always amazes me, about 1.4, which is crazy, because last time I checked, I don't know any millionaires in the room. We're we're taking steps and saying, Lord, use us, right? We gave, in the middle of COVID, we still gave $211,000 to missions, which was beautiful. This year coming up, I mean, everybody understands insurance, all those things, how that goes up. 1.5 is pretty much our budget. And the estimate, and remember, it's just an estimate at this point, because once those construction people start getting a hold of the price list, it changes. But it's about 600. I think that's pretty solid guesstimate, but we'll find out. I'll have more information next week. So here's the deal. Trusting the Lord, giving before receiving. I just realized, I was praying about this, like, Lord, do you want us to take these steps for our community and do this? And the Lord reminded me of how much we gave this last year, more than the tithe. And I felt like the Lord said, Sean, if 211 was the tithe, what would be a tithe of? And I recognized it would be the exact amount we need for the projects, like the budget plus that. I said, all right, Lord, you know, I'm willing to do that. I feel like our church is in a very healthy place of stewardship. So, Lord, if you want to do that, I feel like we've laid the groundwork. I will tell you this, though. I feel like our giving's not done. So next week, there is going to be a very special missionary couple with us that is looking to move into a very challenging area of the world to spread the gospel. And they're taking a young family across the seas. And we were sharing, we support them monthly and all that, and we heard that they still have a need of $10,000 to finish a project that's going to be key to what they want to do. And I went to the elders and the board. I said, let's just give it to them. Let's just give it to them so it's done. And they're literally leaving within the end of this year. And everybody came back and said, let's do it. Let's give before. Could we use that for all these projects? We sure could. You know what we're going to do? Let's give before we receive. So next Sunday, they have no idea we're giving it. So if you can come next Sunday, it's going to be a really sweet time. And we're just going to say, we're going to keep going, like, we're going to give, and then we're going to let you determine how everything else happens. And if the Lord wills, we'll do it. So all this to say, I want us to wrap up here. In your life and in mine, relationship over possessions, what does that look like right now? The journey, not instant results, and giving before receiving. What are all three of these things about? And I'll let you take a moment to write it down. I see a lot of you doing that. What are all these three things about? The memory verse for this week. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Trust him. And I just, as we're doing this, here are a few really practical steps. First of all, today, whether you're online or here in person, this may be your day to be all in with Jesus. Time to get in the wheelbarrow. All right, Jesus, you and I, we're going where I don't think is possible to go. I can't get there, but if I choose to be in you, I'm going to let you take me there. That's going to be your decision today. In a moment, you can make that decision. Also, water baptism is the 31st. And you know what? God is very clearly said in his word that as a disciple, we're supposed to be water baptized. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't taken that all-in step in your life, on Halloween, trick the enemy and treat the world to Jesus. I don't know. There's some analogy. All right? That's 31st. Let's serve consistently. We want to love on people when they come here. We want to make sure they're cared for. We want the young mom who's kind of like, all right, I'm going to try to go to church. I don't know how to go. We want them to be so taken care of that they're like, oh, man, that was awesome being there. All right? So if you will choose ways to serve consistently, you just go online or just call one of the staff members, how can I serve? Kids ministry is always a biggie. And then I just want to encourage you, part of this journey, and we're going to live it out as a church with these thoughts of how do we give to our community. We want to give first and faithfully. And wherever you are on the ladder, we want you to start praying about taking a step up because that's the path God has you on. That's where he wants to take you. And we do all of this always remembering that Jesus is not asking us to do anything he didn't do first. So I'm just going to ask you right now if you'd stand, and we're just going to finish up. We don't need music. It's about what's inside of us, not what we're hearing outside. Everybody online, they're going to take some time to pray with you now, invite you to know Christ and take some of these steps. Bless you as you do that. Come on, everybody. Let's just give our hearts to the Lord right now. Praise your name. God, we sang this song. Lord, I thank you that when I'm just learning to give.
Church, having faith like Abraham and being all in, it's within your grasp. Jesus made it accessible and attainable. It's right there. You just have to hold on to it. You just have to grab a hold of it and call it your own. Now, maybe you've never fully accepted Jesus. Maybe you've thought about him. You've been to church, or this is your first time even really considering it, but you realize that this is for you. This is what you need to do, and you'd like to say yes to Jesus. Well, we would like to help you take that step. If you would like to say yes to Jesus and be all in, we have a private chat available to you and a host who is eager and willing to step in and walk you through that process. And if you would like to do that, you can also mention it on the connection card as well, because this isn't just a moment. Yeah. This is saying yes to life change, saying yes to a whole new way of receiving joy and love. So we would love to walk with you through that process. Absolutely.
Yeah, we definitely want to be here for you for whatever you need. Again, like Andrew said, at the bottom right-hand corner, if you need a prayer, we definitely will. We have someone here for you. Also, too, just a reminder, like you said about the connection card, not just for new members. If you don't have time right now, fill out that connection card. We'd love to get with you and agree with you for whatever your needs are. We're just so glad to be able to have this time with you. And again, if you need us for anything, we're here for you. But we just want to say, hey, have a wonderful week. May God bless you. May God anoint you in everything you do. And we look forward to seeing you next week, guys. So again, be blessed. Thanks for the time.